The Leopard Spots, Matt's Tuesday Tips.
Back into it. Welcome back to Trots Off. We've got a text here from 540. Wants the absolute best of the day. Well, I couldn't give one for Mildura tonight. Hopefully, Matty, you've got one. How are you, mate?
Hey, Tobes. I'm good, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, really good. I did ring you on Saturday. I was going to tell you, Mildura last week, the track really favoured the inside. There was a definite bias towards the inside was the feedback from some of the drivers, and one driver went as far as saying it was four lengths. So I didn't know if you'd heard that feedback or not, and whether you factor that sort of stuff in when you're working out your next lot of bets at Mildura on a Tuesday night.
I hadn't heard that, no, but the two that I'm going to tip there tonight are both going to be in front, I think.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that's interesting. We might. Before we get into that, what did you think of the something about Maori free for all? I'm ready. Jet 250, Queen Elida 220. Where do you settle it straight away?
How far is the race?
2700.
Okay, so it's a long trip. Mm. Put it this way: there's nothing at the opening prices that Spags put up that I want to back. I wouldn't have minded some of the 550 that you were offering for Queen Elida, though. I think that was wishful thinking. The map, I'm not too sure, because I'm ready jet. She does have some gate speed, but she can be a little bit scratchy at the start and make a mistake sometimes when pushed, and there is a bit of speed out wide. Sleepy's very quick. Over the 2700, I would expect Sleepy to then hand to something. If I'm ready jet was able to push off the fence, the lead would probably be there off Sleepy. But if something like Revelstoke came across with Sleepy at the start, then it may be the one that rolls to the top. The 2700 generally finds out, I was going to say the men from the boys, but these are all girls. So we'll have to say the ladies from the girls. The 2700 gives Chris Alford plenty of time to assess the tempo from the back row and move into it at the right time. But let's not forget the Queen, the leader. She hasn't really been at her best for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
She's been winning, but falling in against a field with slightly less depth than what she meets here. Her most recent wins have been against the likes of Revelstoke, Ebony's Avenger, Visionary. So if you throw I'm Ready Jet into the mix, then it becomes a slightly stronger race. So whilst I don't want to back anything at the prices at the moment, if I had to get off the fence, I would probably lean towards I'm Ready Jet just because of the draw. But I think Queen Elida's best is better than I'm Ready Jet's best, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense. But I just thinking she's going to have to do a lot of work to beat her.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Brett Carroll's just tweeted that the last six times I'm Ready Jet's drawn the pole, she hasn't led. Well, the last time was Mufasa Metro came from gate four and crossed and led, and she would have just handed up to him, I assume. And interestingly, Queen Elida sat parked and won that race over the 22:40. So,
yeah, one thing I will say, when the market percentages get down in those last 5 minutes close to jump, I think every horse will start at least as big as the current opening price that the tab have put up here.
Yes.
I don't think anything will start shorter in a closing. They've opened about 135%. The tab generally closed around 120 or 122. Betfair generally closed around 105%. I think you'll be getting at least the prices that you get in here come race time.
Yeah, the 220 and 250. It'll be interesting. The market will shape itself over the coming days, obviously, and towards closer to start time, but I think maybe you'll be getting some value on Ready Jet, obviously. I've well and truly made that case. And the Captain's Sandy free-for-all, and you're probably going to ask me what distance this one is. I didn't actually look at that, to be honest. And it's not as we 2240 metres it is. So
the middle trip, okay.
Serge Blanco first up. I'm not totally convinced after a short conversation with Ryan Duffy earlier today, which went for about 60 seconds, and we'll have him on later on the show. So we'll find out a lot more about Serge Blanco. He did get a little bit tired in that trial, though, I thought. So I'm not convinced.
So what was the issue with Catch a Wave?
I can't recall. It was documented.
Because initially I heard that he had fractured a paston or something, but then all of a sudden he's racing again.
No, there was concerns that he might have, when it got x-rayed, it was, Andy might be able to text us, he's probably listening. I can't recall exactly what it was, but it was just like a stone bruise or something simple in the end. Not simple, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, so Serge Blanco, he'll get to the pegs within the first few hundred, I've got no doubt about that. I haven't looked at his trial yet, but I looked at the results and he's gone 157 home in 54 around Shep for the middle trip. So I don't know if he led in that trial or not. I'll have to have a look at that. But obviously the times were very good, so he can't be too far off the mark fitness-wise. Catch a Wave, I've long been of the opinion that he's much more effective over the short trip. So therefore, Kate's got a pretty big decision to make at the start here. Does she go forward and try and lead? And if Serge Blanco's happy to hand, then she'll obviously have Serge sitting right on her back and a sitting shot over an unsuitable middle distance. Or does she just go back and let Serge lead and come with one run? Now, Serge in general is a sit sprinter. He generally always hands. But at the same time, I don't think Kate would necessarily want Serge sitting right on her back if she was to push forward and lead at the start. So both horses here may not actually want to lead because they're probably both better suited not leading in this type of situation. So the speed map and the tactics are going to be very, very interesting here. And once again, I don't want to back either of these at the current prices that the Tabber put up.
Yeah, and I suppose what you're saying's why I'm thinking, like, Captain might be a bit of a chance. He'll cross Cosimo, I have no doubt about that. And I don't think you want to hold the front like Captain, whoever drives it, whether Greg does or someone else.
Cosimo got out surprisingly good at Charlton. He was nearly able to hold the winner, Haluva, out wide. But it's the first time we've seen Cosimo run the gate in a long, long time, but it shows the gate speed is there. But I think like Captain is quicker again, so that, you know, he can probably push and get across. And then I would expect the Captain to be looking for a sit straight away, most likely on Serge Blanco. But what happens with Catch a Wave, whether it's forward or back, I'm really not sure. We haven't seen Serge lead for quite a while, I don't think, from memory. When he was winning those country cups, he was zipping across and then handing. I don't think Duffy would want to lead first up. But as I just said, I don't think
Kate who he hands up to.
necessarily want to lead and have Serge on her back either, because that's where Serge is very effective. So
yeah.
I've really got no idea what's going to happen here.
Well, I'll endeavour to find more out when we talk to Ryan Duffy anyway. So that is for sure. He didn't drive him in the trial. It was Shannon O'Sullivan, but no doubt he's been talking with his dad. So it'd be great to catch up with Ryan then. Any other thoughts, mate? Are you happy we'll roll to a break and come back with some tips?
Yeah, let's go to a break and go to the tips.
Beautiful. As said, from Matty. Break, back the other side. We'll get some tips from you. Welcome back to Trot's Life. And Matty, Andy Gath did text through. He always does. He's nearly always listening. And all he sent was a picture of a corn. So that's what it was. It was a corn he had or something. So that obviously, it wasn't pleasant, but it wasn't serious. So Catch a Wave with, I assume it's similar to a person when they have one. Let's get into some tips and we'll have a look at Mildura tonight. Race 6 is where you're kicking off, Matty.
Yeah, and I'm with a horse that we tipped on here last week and I'm going with it again. That's number 4, My Ultimate Billy. Ooh. For Alex Ashwood and Andrew German. There is a little bit of gate speed around it. Number 1, Ned's Beach, I think in this grade would be happy to take a sit. Number 2, Aussie Playboy is totally out of form, not racing anywhere near its best. It does have gate speed sometimes, but can be a bit hit or miss. But I don't think in this grade, in this race, it would want to lead given the recent form. So I thought it might be a free passage for My Ultimate Billy to zip across and lead like it did last week. Number 5, I Am Because of You for Ryan Backhouse. It's also a gate speed horse. It can get pulling quite hard. So if it gets caught in the breeze, I'm not sure that'll really suit it. So as long as My Ultimate Billy can lead and not get totally slaughtered by an out of control iron because of you, then I think Billy can get the job done again here. Short trip suits, Mildura suits, pegs suit, just ticks a lot of boxes here and I think can go back to back. So that's race 6, number 4, My Ultimate Billy for Alex Ashwood, who I reckon drives Mildura extremely well. The track and the way the track plays, he just knows that track inside out and drives that Mildura track really well.
He certainly does. What about 156.4 at Broken Hill? I've been to Broken Hill, mate. That's the equivalent of 147 at Menangle.
Yeah.
stunning.
Some of those, like, I only watched the Broken Hill races on the weekend because it was a TAB meeting, so they're on TV. But the non-TAB stuff, I obviously can't watch or bet there. But on the weekend, Naomi Kerr took a team of horses up, and Ryan Backhouse, the stable driver, and some of the margins that they won some of the races by up there were phenomenal. So I don't know a lot about Naomi Kerr. She sort of seems to have bobbed up out of nowhere up in the Sunraysia area, but she's the new dominant trainer in the area, in my opinion, and doing a very good job.
She certainly is. I've asked her to come on for a chat, but she's reluctant to do any media at this stage. I think she's a former police officer, she said. So,
okay.
Her partner, I think, is David Voslick. So,
Yes. Put it this way, if I had a horse which I wanted to send to Mildura right now, she'd be the trainer I'd give a call to.
Yeah, she's doing a wonderful job. She works a million miles an hour when she's at the trots too. You should see her go. She's an absolute goer. I'll give you that. I'll tell you. Now, race 10. I'm sure that's the other one. I'm going off memory here. Race 10 was your other one, mate?
Yeah, it is. Number one, another Alex Ashwood drive. Watch the attitude. I was never really a fan of this horse in the past until its most recent run at Shepparton. In a much, much stronger race than this. And it ran third, only beaten 1.6 metres behind Sweet Dixie, who's a very promising filly for Chris Finocchio. Worked forward at the start from gate six to get to the breeze, then settled 1-1 when the favourite came around. Poked its head out at the top of the straight and looked like it was a danger. Started 80-1, but, you know, 156-8, home 57-3 around Shepparton, off the pegs. And then tonight, over the sprint trip again, it draws barrier one around Mildura. It just ticks a lot of boxes. So the query could be holding up at the start. There is gate speed from Robert Crocker and particularly out wider from Baller Abbey. But if Albie Ashwood can get this horse out quick enough to hold the front, then I really think it should be winning on its last start performance. So we'll probably know our fate within the first 200, but hopefully that's an Alex Ashwood double, race 6 and 10 for us.
Yeah, he is a wonderful driver. He was great value on Sunday too, Alex. He was having an enjoyable afternoon, and he got involved in the coverage on Trot's Vision in a pretty good way too. Menangle, race 5 is the first of 4 at Menangle.
Yeah, you know I love my Menangle Tuesdays.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Race 5. On ability, there's not a heap between a lot of them, but the one that I think is just slightly better than the rest, the way it's racing at the moment, is number 8, Aerodyne Guy. The former Victorian was down here in the Owen Martin stable, but it's been up in New South Wales for nearly 12 months now with David Waite, and I think it's racing really, really well, but it's a bit of a one-trick pony. It can't do much work, and it can't be exposed too early. It's only got a short, sharp sprint over about 300 metres, so last week, he got caught in the breeze when the leader surprisingly handed up and Cam Hart on this horse, Aerodyne Guy, was left in the breeze, and that didn't really suit at all. So I think today, with a lot of gate speed inside it, so he can just slot back, settle sort of 1 out 3 back in the running line, pull to the middle of the top of the straight and hope the leaders have gone hard enough that they stop. They did bet $5 earlier. He's into 290 now, which is probably a touch short. So I wouldn't recommend taking the 290. Just be patient. You'll get a slightly better price again later. But he might be able to run over them here as long as he drives it for one short, sharp sprint at them. That's race 5, number 8, Aerodyne Guy.
Down at 2.5 minutes, so we've got a little bit of time on each one. Are you on Son of the Shark in the 6th?
No, I don't really like what he's shown us so far in New South Wales, and I don't really like the way the David Aiken team is going in New South Wales yet. They may start improving, but so far they haven't really fired too much of a shot. So I'm with number 6, Always Thunder. This is a horse trained out at Bathurst previously by Bernie Hewitt. Big stable change here to Kerri-Anne Morris. So it's now trained in near the Menangle property there. Very high gate speed horse. Loves the lead. I think it can go around the 152 to 153 mark on this track. That could be good enough to win here as long as it zips straight across to the front. So hopefully Robbie Morris can lead all the way. That's race 6, number 6, Always Thunder.
Now, I'll be speculating here on what you just said in the next.
Yeah, you speculated well. Mm-hmm. This is a former, number one, speculating is the horse we're talking about. This is a former Riverina trained horse who was in the stable of Trevor White. It arrives here now trained at Menangle Chris Judd, the trainer, and he does a good job with his small team. And this horse has gate speed. It's it goes good in front. It's led only twice in its career, I think, and won both times. And Will Rickson takes the drive here. Ticks a lot of boxes. I think the favourite, American Hammer's too short. Looks to be unders, given that it probably won't map well. So I think if Will Rickson can drive aggressively and lead and then pinch a second quarter, he might get away with it here in front. Into 360 now. They did bet $9 early. That went off very, very fast. I certainly didn't get the $9, but I thought it might be able to lead and get the job done here. So I think the favourites is too short. So that's race 7, number one, speculating.
And the last, we've only got 25 seconds, mate, so I have to be very brief.
Yeah, just a place bet here on number 2, Mini Mine Yet. She's
horse.
A six-sprint mare, got left in the breeze last week. Hopefully can get some running line cover and pull out at the top straight and run into a place. So that's race 8, number 2, Mini Mine Yet.
At $2 sounds a wise bet. Matt, thanks so much for your time.